And then we're going to go somewhere else. And I want to compare some scriptures with scriptures. And then I want to talk to you about the faith. And that was what he touched on, the one faith. But notice in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, in verse 13, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers. Now, these seducers has got to have something to entice people with. And I think the context here, and I think what he's talking about, like in verse 5, he said they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Whatever these seducers are, they have a form of godliness. You would look at them as being godly. They do right. It'd be religion. They'd be religious people. And they'd have a form, and they're seducing people. And God says they're evil. I mean, we live in an evil world because it's a religious world, and the majority of religion in this evil world is idolatry. They don't worship the God of this Bible. And Paul says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Are you deceived today? The majority of this world is deceived. The majority of this world doesn't know what they believe or why they believe it. They were raised in a denominational system or a church. They were baptized at a young age, and they're trusting that their religion is going to get them through someday, and they're going to fall off in the hell at the judgment. They've been seduced. They've been deceived. But Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said in verse 15 that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Now tell me something. Did he have the originals? I mean, today religion makes, the scholars make such a big deal out of, well, the originals. It's unfortunate that the translators of the King James Bible didn't follow the originals. Well, folks, there are no originals. And the people that are telling you things like that, they couldn't read the originals if they had them. They're pieces of paper somewhere, or locked up in some monastery, and fragments of this and that. So what do you got? What did Timothy have? Timothy didn't have the originals. He had the copy. And their scriptures. Just like we today have a copy of, and it's the Holy Scriptures. And Paul said, notice in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, or truly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, provided he knows what's in the Scriptures. Now, turn with me and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Paul goes down through talking about the nation Israel. And he says in verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they got baptized in the cloud and in the sea and never got a drop of water on them." What about that? That's a dry baptism, isn't it? You know what that is? That's a baptism of death. You know how I know that? Because the Egyptians went down through that into that sea just like the children of Israel did. What happened to them? They died. But anyway, that's another subject. Look in verse, they begin to lust. And verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as some of them were, Israelites. Come down to verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. I'm just wanting you to understand that all this Bible is for me. It's for my learning. It's to thoroughly furnished. In other words, it's like that word "thoroughly" there. It's like it's a mariner word. It's like you fit out a ship to go across. You equip that ship so that ship can cross from one side of the ocean to the other side and not have any need of anything. And it's thoroughly furnished. And that's the way that Bible does to a child of God. That Bible will fit you out and it will complete you so that you can pass through this world and not be seduced, not be deceived, provided that you rightly divide it. Notice in 2 Timothy, you're there, look back in chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Most of you haven't know it by heart. All the Bible's for me, from Genesis to Revelation. And I read all of it. That's just the way I do. I read Genesis through Revelation. I get through that. I go back and I read the epistles of Paul. And then I'll start over my Bible again. I read it all, Genesis through Revelation. I go to Romans, read Romans through Philemon, and then I start back over again. And that's just the way I do it. It's over and over and over. Why? I want to know if I don't know what's in the book, how am I going to rightly divide it? If I don't know what's in the book, how am I going to preach the word to people that it'll be profitable to them? I don't want to deceive nobody. I don't want to be a seducer. I don't want to deceive you. I want you to know the truth. Now look what he says in verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide this Bible, you don't know what you believe. Alright. God's dealings with man have not been the same. For instance, now compare with me and take Exodus and look in Exodus, and we touched on this last week. Exodus chapter 31. Notice in Exodus chapter 31, verse 15. Let's see if God does it the same way today. Exodus chapter 31, verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to what? That's pretty serious, isn't it? Verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17 explains it. Notice, for it, keeping of the Sabbath, it is a sign between me and the members of the church. Huh? It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. How long? Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Number one, who did he make the covenant with? The children of Israel. You're not the children of Israel. You're not spiritually Israel. But God made a covenant, did he not? Turn to Colossians and compare Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, now notice in verse 16, Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Turn back with me to Galatians. We went over a lot of this last week. You know, Paul talks about them being bewitched in chapter 3. And notice what he says in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree. While Christ was a curse. Look back in verse 10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. In other words, if you're trying to keep the law, you're under the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. While you're cursed then with a curse. And these people started out, but then they wanted to go back under the law, and people today are trying to keep the Sabbath day. Well, God said if you break that Sabbath day, if you're going to keep this Sabbath day, and you do anything on that Sabbath day, what did he say had happened to you? In fact, look over there in Numbers. Turn to Numbers chapter 15. You want to see how serious it is? And another thing. What day is the Sabbath day? Well, there ain't nobody in here can figure it out. But according to our calendar, and that's all we got to go by, right? What is the seventh day on that calendar? Did anybody do anything yesterday? Look what he said in Numbers chapter 15, verse 31. Because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. Now watch it. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. All right? I imagine he's gathering them to build a fire. And they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and said unto all the congregation. And they put him, unto all the congregation, and they put him in ward, that's jailhouse, they locked him up, because it was not declared what should be done to him. You know why I think that? They didn't know if that had broke the Sabbath. God had already given them the law that if a man done any work, he was to be put to death, right? But they didn't know. Here's a man, no doubt in my mind, this man goes out on the Sabbath and he's gathering some sticks. Maybe to build a fire, maybe to cook something, I don't know. I would imagine they said, is this work? Is this going to be classified as work? What are we going to do with him? Look what happens. Verse 35, and the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to what? Death. And all the congregation stoned him with stones without the count. Do you think they took that serious? Folks, keeping of the Sabbath was a covenant between them. God's dealing with the nation Israel, not with the body of Christ. Another one. Let's try again. Turn to Leviticus and look in Leviticus chapter 11. Now, just God's dealings with man. People say, well, God's dealt with man since Adam and Eve in the garden the same. He deals with that. That's somebody that does not know what they don't even know what's in this Bible. You can't tell me God's dealing with man today under the Sabbath keeping day today as he did in Moses' day. You couldn't travel. You couldn't cook nothing. You went out on a Friday, you gathered enough manna to eat. You gathered 2 days so you wouldn't leave your tent on the Sabbath. And if you did, you saw what happened to a man that goes out and gathers some sticks. If God was killing people today that dishonored His day, Sabbath, folks, we'd all be dead. Aren't you glad for grace? Notice in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7. Now this will apply next Sunday morning. And the swine, you know what a swine is? You know what a that's pig, that's a hog. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. And of their flesh shall ye enjoy. Long as you sugar or cure it. No, anyway, it says, and their flesh ye shall not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. And these shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever hath fin and scales in the waters, and in the seas, and in the rivers. Them shall ye eat, if it has fins, and if it has scales. Well, there goes catfish right out the... Catfish don't have no scales. Fins and scales. There goes your shrimp. Your scallop, all that stuff. There goes your ham, your bacon, right out the door. But wait a minute. Is God dealing with that way today? Does God say, look, can't do it. Turn with me and look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. you ought to write and underline these things down. For every creature of God is what? How about that pig? That's a creature of God, isn't it? For every creature of God is good and nothing to be what? Refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Well, there you can have your pork back and your fish if you're thankful for it. Let's try it. Let's don't give up there. Let's go on to another. I'll tell you what. Take Psalms. Let's see if Psalms. It's a good one. The book of Psalms. Notice in chapter 51. Psalm 51. God's dealing with man. Psalms 51. Notice in verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Could the Spirit leave a man in the Old Testament? He did Saul. And Saul got an evil spirit. Turn with me to Ephesians. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed for how long? Until the day of redemption. What is that seal? Well, while you're there, just come on over to Timothy and look in 2 Timothy. And those verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's a seal of ownership, and the Lord knows who are His. And you understand what a seal, we have the seal of the United States. A king has a seal he puts stuff on. It's an emblem, it's a show of ownership, and when you're saved by the grace of God, you're sealed under the day of redemption. He stamps His ownership on it, and the Lord knows them that are His. But in the Old Testament, they could lose it. And David, after he sinned and he done something, he prayed that God don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. God don't deal the same today as He did in the Old Testament. But let's try another one. Turn over to Matthew. Look in Matthew chapter 5, where we studied some last week. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, them commandments is the law. So look in Romans and look in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Well, you got to keep the commandments to be called great. Jesus Christ said it. People say, well, I believe in the red letter edition. I follow what Jesus follows. Well, praise the Lord, I do too. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But all the Bible's for me, but it's not all to me. I've got to know who He's talking to. He made a covenant to Israel, a sign between Him and the house of Israel to keep a special day. And yet Paul says, you don't have to keep that day. Matter of fact, he told the Galatians, well, I was going to read it, where he said, I'm afraid of you because you do keep Sabbaths and worship and holy days. Look what he said in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans 6, 14, he says there, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but what? Under grace. Well, I saved this one for last. Go back to Genesis and look at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. This is a good one. Now, you ladies, you'll just hang in there. Genesis chapter 17. Now, you men, it's going to get rough. You believe God's dealing today the same as He always did, well, let's see. Genesis chapter 17, notice in verse 11. Let's go back to verse 10. This is my covenant. Here's another covenant. Which ye shall keep. Between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it, the circumcision, shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And you can't do it before a certain age. Verse 12. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in thy house or bought with money of any stranger that is not of thy seed. And it goes on, talks about it. Verse 14, and the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And you want to see how serious it is, you look at Exodus chapter 4, where Moses was gone out of the world. Well, in fact, turn over there. You're right there at it. Look in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 24. And it came to pass. Now this is after Moses was out there, saw the burning bush. And verse 24, and it came to pass by the way in the end that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. After he talked to him in the burning bush. Then Zippor took a sharp stone, verse 25, and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. You know, Moses wasn't going to circumcise his son, and under the law that was the covenant between Abraham, and that thing had went all the way through, and it was so important God was going to kill him over it, and his wife done the job for him. I had a man 20-some years ago come up to me crying. Said, I need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And this man was as serious as he could be. But he read in Genesis 17, verse 14, that soul should be cut off because he hadn't been circumcised. And he said, I don't know what to do, preacher. He thought he couldn't come to church. He was going to leave the church. I mean, he was faithful, but he read that passage and he thought it was to him, and he didn't know what to do, and he was so tore up, he was going to take his family and just leave and not come back to church anymore. You've got to rightly divide the Bible. All right? Compare. Let's see if God wants you to be certain. See if it's anything. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Folks, God is not dealing with man today like He dealt with man in the past. You have time passed back here. And back there, God was dealing with one nation in that Bible, and that one nation was the nation Israel, and He gave them dietary laws, He gave them what to wear. They had to wear certain clothes that was made out of certain one material, and He gave them all kinds of laws to treat one another, and you know about the Ten Commandments, and all of that was given to them, and they was to keep, not that so much to, and it was their righteousness to keep, and whenever they failed, what would they do? They'd offer a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for their sins to atone their soul for breaking this law. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. Well, I'm looking at this and man, I'm saying, what are we going to do? If all the Bible is me to live by day, old and new, and God's dealings is not changed from Adam to now, we're in a mess. You know that? But look what He says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? A new creature. In Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter. So I got time passed back here. The law. I got over here, the ages to come, I would put it. You know what them people over there? Turn with me to Revelation. And look in Revelation. In Revelation, and I'm going to take two passages just to give you an idea of what they're doing. But in Revelation, notice in chapter 12, verse 17. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. The Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with a woman. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Did they keep the commandments of God? Turn to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Commandments of God? Who is Revelation wrote to? Turn back to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. In verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him. God gave a revelation, unveiling to Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. Who are the servants? Look in chapter 7. In chapter 7, verse 3. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the earth. Who are the servants that get sealed? The tribes of the children of Israel. Back here, one nation. Over here, there's that nation again. Who is that nation? It's Israel. They keep the commandments, that law again. Over there. All this Bible's for me. I look back here, I see how God operated in time past. I see where the law come. I see the law brought men to Christ, condemning them. I look over here, I see that that nation's going to rise again. I see what they're going to have to go through with. I look back here and I see this nation, I see it falling. I see it diminishing. I come over here and I see they put Christ to death here. I read it, and I realize that the king that's looking for this kingdom is my Savior also. Then I see God Almighty doing something. He's saving the Saul of Tarsus, changing his name to Paul. And you know what we got now? It's called, but now. Turn with me, and I want just for a moment. Now look in Galatians. You can't live by and do everything in this book. You've got to rightly divide it. Galatians chapter 1. Chapter 1. I'm going to use that. Galatians chapter 1, verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which he once destroyed and the glorified God in me. Now what is the faith that Paul once destroyed? Well, turn back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, where God saved him. And people use that verse against you and say, see there, you know, Paul destroyed the faith, now he's preaching the same thing as Peter and them preach. And that's not so. I'm going to show you what they preach the same. Acts chapter 9, notice in verse 20. Now Paul gets saved. Let's just go back to verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received his sight. Forthwith rose and was baptized. Somebody said, well, you mean Paul got baptized? Or what? I mean, Paul didn't get everything at one time. I mean, you know. Verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is what? All right, now look in Galatians again now. I should have had you to hang on. If you don't want to turn there, just listen. That he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. So I'm going to say the faith right here. There are several aspects of that faith that make up the faith. There are several sides to it, so to speak. Number one, this faith consists of Christ being the Son of God. Now, if you don't believe Jesus Christ come into the flesh as the Son of God, John says you're the Antichrist. You have the spirit of the Antichrist. And you're not saved. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is, you say, well, he's not the Son of God to me, then you're as lost as whatever. Folks, there are nobody saved today that's in the faith that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only that, but let's try it again. Not only was he preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed, said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And he was going about, verse 21, proving that this is the very Christ. So I find out that he preached that he was the Son of God. He also preached the resurrection. You couldn't believe that he was the Son of God if you didn't believe in the resurrection. That he died for our sins is a part of it. That's the next thing you'll find in 1 Corinthians. He died for our sins. So when we're talking about the faith, it's Christ the Son of God. He arose from the dead. He died for our sins. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 that there's one faith. And he says that he gave some pastors and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints till we all come in the unity of the faith. God would have every saved individual in the world today to be in unity of the faith. Notice this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. What is the good news? Is that the Son of God, died for our sins. And you know, people don't think about that burial, but that burial is an important part. Folks, when Jesus Christ was buried, He was buried in a body of sins, so to speak. Your sins was on Him and was put into the ground. And when God raised Him the third day, He didn't come out with your sins. He left your sins in the grave. Don't you see? That old man that you are is dead as far as God is concerned. So that's part of it. Then I want you to see something else. Another word in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. As what Alan was talking about. The faith has to do with his faith. You know, someday I might get so discouraged I might not believe like I one time did. You say, preacher, what would happen if you just quit believing? What would happen? Well, the Bible says God is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You see, my salvation and my standing with the Lord today is not based upon my faith. It's based upon His faith. I am justified, not kept by my faith, but His. Look in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross up there, God made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness. Listen, Jesus Christ became what you are. He took every sin that you'll ever commit, every sin that you got, every sin that you'll ever do, every sin that you'll ever think of. He became a murderer to the murderer. He became a whore to the whore. He became a robber and a thief to the robber and a thief. He became whatever mankind can become. He became that on that cross, and He died. The law put Him to death, don't you understand? He had no sin. He was born of a virgin. He never even thought bad. He never done anything wrong. But yet the wages of sin is death, and death passed upon Him because you sinned. And it was your sins that was put upon Him. There He is, the Son of Almighty God, hanging on that cross, and He's fixing to die. He's fixing to step out into death. He's dying in faith that God will forgive you and raise Him from the dead. Do you realize if God had left one of your sins unforgiven, God couldn't have raised His Son from the dead? Why, that one sin would have kept death on Him. So God wiped the slate clean, and your sins have been paid for. So you say, well, then how come I'm not saved? Because you won't receive it. Sin, people don't go to hell because of their sins. They go to hell because of their unbelief. His faith. And the last thing I want you to mention, and I don't have time to go through it all, but it has to do with the doctrine for the body of Christ. And it's Romans through Philemon. So when Paul says he would have all we all come into the unity of the faith, he'd have all the saved people believe that He was the Son of God, buried, resurrected, died for their sins, preaching the cross, knowing about His faith, and knowing about the doctrine for the body of Christ. You want to know how to live for the Lord? Read Romans through Philemon. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for being here. May God bless you.